A blessed and wonderful Sabbath to each one gathered here and to those that are on the phone and to those that will be listening to the recorded service. Praise God that we're able to come back together again and to worship our loving Father in spirit and in truth. And it is indeed a wonderful time to be alive, just in such a time as this, dear ones, for it's not by mistake that God has given us life in these very last days. God has allowed each one of us to exist in this time so that we will have the ability to praise Him and to live His life and to share His truth with others for just such a time as this. So, praise God that we're able to join together and to worship Him. And let us continue into our youth and adult Sabbath school now, and we will begin with prayer. Our dear precious Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for thy merciful kindness and tender love. We thank you for being in control of all things, that indeed your kingdom has come and your will is being done in the lives of your people and also throughout the world. Father, please help us to see your will in our lives that we may act in harmony with it and to humbly follow where you lead the way. And thank you so much for not forsaking us. We ask that thy presence will be here in our midst to take control of this meeting and to lead and guide us upward. And thank you for being here. We also pray that the presence of our Savior and the Holy Spirit will be here as well to warm our hearts with their love and to lead and guide us into all truth. And thank you so much for being here. Please continue to help us understand the things that are in your inspired word, especially those areas that are beneath the surface of the reading. Help us to understand those jewels and gems of truth and increase our ability to comprehend and also to see ourselves as you see us, that we will look away from self to our Savior and become changed in His image. Thank you for hearing and answering this prayer and for being here with us now. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. We're continuing in our study book, Steps to Christ. And let me go ahead and put the book here in the room. The link is lightministries.com/ID624.htm. And we're Chapter 8, Growing Up into Christ. And we're all the way down to about the middle of page 75. And it's right, the very last paragraph of chapter 8. So, page 75, the last paragraph. Jesus prayed for us, and he asked that we might be one with him, even as he is one with the Father. What a union is this! The Savior has said of himself, the Son of Man can do nothing of himself. The Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Which is John 5:19 and 14:10. Then if Christ is dwelling in our hearts, he will work in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure, which is Philippians 2:13. So Jesus prayed that each and every one of us might be united with him as he is united with the Father. And if Jesus is indeed united with each one of us, then the works that he did, we will do as well. And he will work in us to will and to do of his Father's good pleasure. So if we're not doing the will of God, but we're doing our own will, or the will of the enemy of God, then this fact shows us that we are not at that point united with Christ, but we're united with someone else, with the devil. So if we're united with Christ and we're one with Him as He is one with the Father, then we will do the same works that Christ did. We will keep God's law. We will obey Him in everything. And we will not do our own will. So if Christ is dwelling in our hearts, He will work in us to will and to do of God's good pleasure. Continuing, we shall work as He worked. We shall manifest the same Spirit. And thus, loving Him and abiding in Him, we shall grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, which is Ephesians 4:15. So if we are indeed united with Christ and He is indeed working in us to will and to do of the Father's good pleasure, then we will work as He worked. We will manifest the same Spirit that He manifested, the same love, the same earnestness. And by continuing to love Him and abide in Him, then we will indeed grow up into Him in all areas. We will be just like Christ. And the greatest verse of the gospel in the Bible is Philippians 1:21. For to me to live is Christ. And if we fulfill that goal, if we reach that point in the gospel work in our lives, then we have indeed grown up into Christ in all things. And Christ is able to live His righteous life in and through us in every area. So the key is to be united with Christ. And then connected to that glorious vine, we will be able to bear fruit. We will be able to grow up into Him and bring much glory to God. Are there any thoughts or comments on this last chapter, last paragraph in chapter 8 before we go to chapter 9? Please feel free. Okay, chapter 9 is entitled The Work and the Life, and it begins on page 77. So chapter 8 ended by being united with Christ and then allowing Him to continue to live in us. We would then grow up into Him in all things, doing the works that He would do, living the life that He lived. And then we come into chapter 9, The Work and the Life. God is the source of life and light and joy to the universe. Like rays of light from the sun, like the streams of water bursting from a living spring, blessings flow out from Him to all His creatures. And wherever the life of God is in the hearts of men, it will flow out to others in love and blessing. Our Savior's joy was in the uplifting and redemption of fallen men. For this He counted not His life dear unto Himself, but endured the cross, despising the shame. So angels are ever engaged in working for the happiness of others. This is their joy. That which selfish hearts would regard as humiliating service, ministering to those who are wretched and in every way inferior in character and rank, is the work of sinless angels. The spirit of Christ's self-sacrificing love is the spirit that pervades heaven and is the very essence of its bliss. This is the spirit that Christ's followers will possess, the work that they will do. So the heavenly angels followed the example, the self-denying example of their Lord and God, which was the Lord God Michael, who became Jesus Christ in human flesh. They followed his same example of self-sacrifice, and they willingly allowed themselves to be the ministers to the fallen race, to engage in working for the happiness of you and me. And they take joy in doing so. What do you think would happen if the angels were selfish in heart? They would not be willing to lower themselves to come down and work for a fallen race. And we would thereby stand a much better chance at being lost instead of being saved. But that's not what heaven is about. That's not the character of God. That's not the character of Christ. And neither is it the character of the Holy Spirit. So the angels have chosen to follow and to mimic and to live the same loving, self-sacrificing character of the Godhead. And that's why they're more than willing, it's their joy, to come down and minister to you and me, to lead and guide us upward, to help protect us from the evil and from the everyday harm that might occur to us if we did not have their protection. They are following the example of Christ in showing self-sacrificing love, and it is this self-sacrificing love for others that is the very essence of the happiness in heaven and on the new earth. Working to make others happy, forgetting about yourself, out of love, is the happiness, the foundation of the bliss that we will find in heaven and on the new earth. But we must have it in our hearts now. Because if we don't have this experience in our hearts now, we won't make it to heaven. This is our training ground. This is our probationary period to develop the character of God in us, to have that internal peace that alone can come from union with Christ. This is where we're developed, to develop it now, not later. It will be impossible to do later. We have to do it now. And this type of spirit that joys in tribulations, that has internal peace of Christ, no matter if there's turmoil and disruption all around us, we will still be able to maintain the peace and the calmness of Christ because he's dwelling in our hearts. We're united with him, the living vine. It is the same spirit that all of the followers of Christ will possess, and they will then do the same works that Christ is doing, and that the angels are doing, and that the Father is doing, working to save sinners, continuing, when the love of Christ is enshrined in the heart, like sweet fragrance, it cannot be hidden. Its holy influence will be felt by all with whom we come in contact. The Spirit of Christ in the heart is like a spring in the desert, flowing to refresh all and making those who are ready to perish eager to drink of the water of life. So if we are indeed in union with Christ and He has control of the thrones of our hearts, then what will we be to others? We will shed a holy influence to all with whom we come in contact. And this holy influence will work just like a refreshing stream of water found in the desert by those that are thirsty and ready to perish. And they will be eager to drink of the water of life that we share with them, which of course is Christ. So now I think you can understand a little more fully what Christ meant when He says, "Come and drink of me, of Christ, and then I will make you to have waters flowing out to others." We will be so filled with Christ's love that we will share it with others. We will have like a never-ending fountain within us to shed forth, to allow to flow out the love of Christ to others, that they too may drink of the water of life and live. That's what it's like to be in true union with Christ and to have Him indeed ruling on the throne of your heart. Self will be lost. It will be forgotten. It will be dead. And Christ instead will be revealed. This is what we're to develop now, dear ones, in this probationary time, in these last days of Earth's history, the reason why God allowed you and me to be born and to grow up and to live in this last time. That the prophets and the teachers of old and the followers of God desired to look into and to understand and to see. This experience of allowing Christ to be united with you and then to have the water of life, to have Christ flow out from you to others, is why we're on this earth now. It's what we're to accomplish in our lives through the grace and strength given us by God through the Holy Spirit, so that we might indeed be Christ's living witnesses in this earth, that we might indeed fill this earth with the glory of God, with the knowledge of salvation, with the uplifting of the Son of Man, that others will fall in love with Jesus Christ of Nazareth and find eternal life in Him. That's what we're here for, dear ones. And it's not by mistake that we're here. It's purposefully. God could have had you or me born in the 17th century, or in the 12th century, or just before the flood. But He allowed you and me to be born now. And the reason is to live for Him as His witnesses. Don't you see the glorious honor and privilege it is to be alive in such a time as this. And the great blessings there are if you understand your need of being in union with Christ. And the distinct privilege of working for others so that they can fall in love with the Savior and also be able to be saved and to work for others before it's too late. So, dear ones, we're not on this earth to see how rich we could become. We're not on this earth to see how many possessions that we can obtain or how many properties we could add or how many movies we can watch. We're on this earth to serve our living God, to become like our Savior in character, to be united with Him while we're still alive and can function for Him and can live for Him and can work for Him in seeking to save the lost. Are there any thoughts or comments, dear ones, before we go to the next paragraph? And dear ones, it is truly a marvelous time to be alive. The next paragraph. Love to Jesus will be manifested in a desire to work as He worked for the blessing and uplifting of humanity. It will lead to love, tenderness, and sympathy toward all the creatures of our Heavenly Father's care. The Savior's life on earth was not a life of ease and devotion to Himself, but He toiled with persistent, earnest, untiring effort for the salvation of lost mankind. From the manger to Calvary, He followed the path of self-denial and sought not to be released from arduous tasks, painful travels, and exhausting care and labor. He said, "The Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many," which is Matthew 20, verse 28. This was the one great object of His life. Everything else was secondary and subservient. It was His meat and drink to do the will of God and to finish His work. Self and self-interest had no part in His labor. So how much of the person Jesus Christ Himself did He reveal to the people of the earth when He was walking there? None of it. His own self and self-interest had no part in His labor. That's why Christ could tell Philip, when Philip asked Him, "Please show us the Father," Christ could answer, "I am revealing to you everything about the Father. It's not me that you're seeing, Philip. It's actually my Father that you're seeing." Christ was so emptied of self that we did not see Him. We saw instead God the Father. That's why Christ could also say, "No man has seen the Son but the Father, and no man has seen the Father except the Son and He to whom the Son will reveal Him to." So Christ was so emptied of self that he only revealed God the Father to you and me. And so how much of self is to be seen in us? Not one bit. We're to only reveal Christ, who is revealing the Father. That's why self is to be crucified in us. If something is crucified and dead, it has no life. It can't get up and walk around. It can't speak. It can't move. It can't be seen other than it's dead. That's how you and I are to be, dear ones. Not witnesses of ourselves, but witnesses of God. So Christ had none of self or self-interest in him. His primary purpose, his one great object of his life, was to minister the character of the Father to you and me and all the rest of the inhabitants of this world. And if Christ is truly united in you and in me, then we will follow that same example. Self and self-interest will have no part in us, because our one great object in life is to minister the character, the lovingness of our Heavenly Father to others. This takes devotion. This takes moment by moment conversion, consecration, determination, fixed purpose to serve God no matter what it takes. And to those who choose to do this, to fully and completely be united with Christ, it's not going to be easy. It's not a cakewalk. The devil's not going to allow us to so easily reveal Christ to others. It's a battle and a march. Striving to represent Christ every moment of every day. Getting to those points in time in which it feels like you're having to sacrifice your eye or your arm in order to do the will of God. But yet, through continuing to be united with Christ, it's all possible. Even in fallen, sinful human nature and flesh that we live in, it's still possible to walk with God every moment of every day for our entire life. All 70 plus years of it. And we don't have just the example of our Savior to look to. Enoch walked with God for 300 complete years in a loving union with his God, with the Lord God Michael. And he remained faithful for those 300 years. And God did what with him at the end of that time? He didn't die. He hadn't reached the end of life. God translated him to heaven while he was still alive, he never saw death. What's going to happen with the 144,000 individuals who, just like Enoch, walk with their Lord God for the rest of their lives? They also will be translated without seeing death. It's possible, dear ones, to be so fully united with Christ and with Christ to God our Father that we would represent their characters completely, moment by moment of each day being surrendered to Him. It's possible. Christ showed us it's possible. Enoch showed us it's possible. So then there's no reason to doubt. If we will just crucify self moment by moment, it's possible to become so fully filled with Christ that only Christ is revealed and lived in us. But we must crucify self every moment of every day and not allow it to come back alive. Once it's crucified, keep it dead. Don't do CPR on it. Don't try to revive it. Keep it dead, so that Christ can live through you. And I tell you, dear ones, if there ever was a dead body that could survive for eons without being alive and still come back alive itself, so let us keep self dead and not revive it, no matter how long that time may be, so that we can be sealed while we still live with the seal of our Father in our foreheads, in our minds that controls the rest of our body, so that we might indeed be God's bride, His wife that has made herself ready. And then this great controversy is over. God has His people, and Christ comes down to get His bride and takes her home to the wedding. You and I have the glorious privilege, being alive in these last days, to make up Christ's bride and end this great controversy. Each one of us have the ability to become part of the 144,000. It takes commitment. It takes determination. It takes purpose. It takes crucifixion of self so that Christ may instead live and reign and move through you in reaching out and seeking to save the lost. So let us strive with every ounce of power and ability given us by God to make up that glorious number, to become part of the bride of Christ, so that we can go home. Those that have already died in the past long to be part of this group, ever since 1844 on, ever since Christ went from the holy place into the most holy place of the heavenly sanctuary. They've longed to be part of the 144,000, but it wasn't made up in their generation, and they had to see death. That's why it's not by mistake that you and I are alive now. God is giving us the distinct privilege and honor to make up this blessed group, this bride of Christ. And when 144,000 different individuals allow Christ to be so fully united with them and to rule so fully on their heart that only He is revealed and self is all crucified, forever crucified, then the end comes. Christ throws down the censer. He says, "My intercessory work is done. He that is holy still, and he that is filthy still. And I'm now leaving heaven to get my bride that I've waited so long for." Will you choose, dear ones, to be one of those 144,000? And if you do, praise God, because that's one less number that we need until that group is made up. And I pray so, dear ones. So it was Christ's meat and drink to do the will of God and to finish His work. Self and self-interest had no part in His labor, and neither should it have any part in our labor. Amen, sister. No looking back, just going forward. Amen. Continuing. So those who are the partakers of the grace of Christ will be ready to make any sacrifice that others for whom He died may share the heavenly gift. They will do all they can to make the world better for their stay in it. This spirit is the sure outgrowth of a soul truly converted. No sooner does one come to Christ then there is born in his heart a desire to make known to others what a precious friend he has found in Jesus. The saving and sanctifying truth cannot be shut up in his heart. If we are clothed with the righteousness of Christ and are filled with the joy of his indwelling spirit, we shall not be able to hold our peace. If we have tasted and seen that the Lord is good, we shall have something to tell. So our testimony to others involves telling them how the Lord is working in our life and what a joy it is to find salvation in Him. It is a living testimony about what God has done for your and my soul. We are God's living witnesses on what God is doing for us and through us. So then our testimony is not focused alone on what happened on the day of our conversion 20 years ago, or what God had did for us 10 years ago. But our testimony also includes what God is doing for us now. If we have tasted and seen that the Lord is good, we shall have something to tell. Like Philip when he found the Savior, we shall invite others into His presence. We shall seek to present to them the attractions of Christ and the unseen realities of the world to come. There will be an intensity of desire to follow in the path that Jesus trod. There will be an earnest longing that those around us may behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And the effort to bless others will react in blessings upon ourselves. What is the joy and happiness of the angels? In ministering to you and me. This is their joy. They're not only serving God and obeying His commands, they're serving us, allowing us to have the privilege and the precious chance of being saved and to live with them forever. That's their happiness and joy. And as we minister to others, Jesus Christ, this is our happiness and joy as well. We will be blessed by seeking to bless others. Continuing, this was the purpose of God in giving us a part to act in the plan of redemption. God could have employed every angel in heaven to work for the salvation of others without involving another human being. But then all the rest of the followers of God would miss out on the rich, deep, fulfilling blessings and happiness and joy of working for others and seeing others saved. So these blessings, these fulfilling joys, this internal peace and happiness is the purpose of God in giving you and me a part to act in the plan of redemption. Continuing, He has granted men the privilege of becoming partakers of the divine nature, and in their turn, of diffusing blessings to their fellow men. This is the highest honor, the greatest joy, that it is possible for God to bestow upon men. What is the highest honor and the greatest joy that God can give to you and me? Giving us a part in acting the plan of redemption. Giving us a part to play in uniting ourselves with Christ and then showing and revealing Christ to others. There is no greater honor or greater joy that is possible for God to bestow upon men and women and children today. Continuing, those who thus become participants in labors of love are brought nearest to their Creator. You're all familiar with that song, Nearer, My God, to Thee. How can we be brought nearer to our God? By showing and living Christ to others. Those who thus become participant in labors of love are brought nearest to their Creator. So if you long to be closer to Christ, your Creator, then go to work for Him. Seek to save the lost. and you will be brought nearer and nearer to your Savior. Are there any thoughts or comments before we continue on, dear ones?
I've been having a little, as you know, some difficulties technically, so I still thank the Lord that I was able to at least catch some of what is being studied today. And what a rejoicing and a refreshing to be able to partake of this food. I have to touch and agree and say very well received that we really have to be so completely emptied of oneself. We have to be so consumed by Christ to where it is true, even as Brother Rob was sharing from the reading, where the Lord was saying, I've been showing you the Father. I've not been showing you me. I've been showing you the Father. And it's so true that we have to walk moment by moment, moment by moment. And in a way, it comes to my mind as a teaching of every little literal step we take, we really, at least I would rejoice in being able to do this, where it becomes very much like breathing in and breathing out, where it's just Jesus, Jesus, Jesus all the time, and where the Holy Spirit is just breathing in and breathing out, and every step I take and every turn I turn and everything I put on my plate and everything I put on my body and whatever goes into my head and whatever comes through my eyes must pass the muster test. It must go through to Christ. It must be like that. And so I am praying, and I just rejoice in hearing it. It must be like that for each and every one of us. If we are not willing to truly, and I'm finding this out more and more every day by God's mercy and grace, I am still here, thank you, Jesus, to find out more and more every day that we truly must have every bit of self consumed completely, what a rejoicing. I don't care if it hurts some. It's going to hurt some. But so what? In the end, what a refreshing. And that's what I'm praying for all of us, that we endure that, that we go ahead and get into the fire, and that we allow the Holy Spirit to consume and lift up and dig out all the dross that's in us, that's causing our characters to not be perfected in Christ. Because Christ and Christ alone must be seen by the world, not us. Whether we're handing a track out, it can't be really us doing it. And I hope it's understood what I mean. Because the particularity of this is very important. It must be the Lord in us handing that track out. It must be the Lord in us sharing even a smile or a greeting or giving to those who are needy. They must be able in every sense, and it's something that we press on toward, to be able to be like that, be like Jesus. But we must be, even as our dear brother was saying, it is possible to walk as Enoch walked. Otherwise, the Lord would not say there will be 144,000 that will be walking that way. If it is possible, then why not possible for you? Why not possible for me? What is stopping us? That's really a very poignant question. What is stopping us? I find that for myself, exactly, dear sister. Amen, brother. It is self that is stopping us from walking that way. And it is the biggest beast we will ever have to fight is self. But I praise the living God that the Lord has given us power through Jesus Christ to overcome even self, for he did it. So I just praise God for these things.
Praise the Lord, and I would like to add to that as well. Even though Jesus was telling the disciple that if he really wanted to see his Father, he's been around him all the time, and he didn't know him yet. This is truly the key word. The only way you can identify the Father is the spiritual eye. Carnal cannot see spiritual things. Only those that seen the Father spiritually could have known that he was of the Father. But for those that did not know the Father, still were trying to figure out who was he. They didn't even know him as being the actual Son of God. They were still looking to see if he was fulfilling. What was his life was all about? Sometimes it might not be sharing the word of God with our mouth. The biggest testimony is truly walking in the light of what you have learned and what it is and how you have been with Jesus. The New Testament is written by men that had a communion with Christ, that walked with Christ, that testifying that Christ is real. And that is the same thing. If you look at how the beginning, they begin to minister to people. They start bringing down stuff in such a manner that now they cripple the enemy to use it against them because they don't want no hindering. If you can see a wretched person like me tell you that I was above the law, and everything that he mentioned about himself, it is really alarming to the hearer to know if this man can be able to come out from these works and stand today as a representative of God, then there is hope for me. Because in reality, no one can do the work unless God allow him to do so. No one can be able to accomplish anything unless God had placed it in their heart to do so. Because it is Christ still working in us. These works that everyone is able to do, it is still Christ working in us. Through that, we need to sanctify ourselves. It's not only very real to those that are hearing and seeing, but it's also supposed to sanctify us as well. There is no reason to look for their works. Why? There is nothing. The Lord said that even when he was walking here and yet he was yet human and at the same time divine, he knew what is in man. He knew what was in the flesh. So he maintained himself in the spirit. He gave us an example how we should do it. Yes, every day we're going to try because he's trying his best to be able to hold us down, tell us that we don't have no hope, tell us that we are wretched. Yes, we are wretched. Yes, we have filthy rags. Yes, but guess what happened? The Lord showed us a way. He left a window open. He showed us how we can be able to walk in this dead flesh. He said, if you walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We know what flesh is. Flesh has different characters. It does not exalt Christ. It does not fulfill his law. It does not do anything to exalt God. It only exalts self and only exalt everything that is not of God. We need to run to him at that very moment and try to be able to go back to him. We are going to do this every day because the devil is not fighting against the one that he has. He's fighting against the one that will open the eyes of those that are in bondage. Just sharing, the Lord made a way. The only way from here forward is to be able to come into Christ, to be able to let the Spirit of God be a dwelling place in this temple, that we may really end up to be a sanctuary for him, one that Christ liveth and exalted alone, and where us as our humanity, ourselves, will be our base. And that's the only way that he has showed us. He gave us an example that we could live in this fleshly body, even in the midst until when the Lord imputes his righteousness in us, we will have a warfare, a glory against our own self. We all have our own Goliath. But if we don't actually become like David and know that the one that is in us is greater than the one that is in the world, we already defeated the purpose because we ourselves do not believe that it is possible. And it is possible. Not perfect example more than Jesus' life and all of those that came after him, that there is a way. I just wanted to share that.
And I want to sing a song like while my sister was talking, and it says, with men this is impossible, But with God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. Amen.
Amen, dear sister. With God, all things are indeed possible, including being part of the 144,000. We've come to the end of our youth and adult Sabbath school time, and I invite you to please bow your heads and kneel as far as possible for our closing prayer. Precious Father in heaven, we thank you so very much for allowing us to come ever closer to thee by uniting with your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior, and working with him to seek and to save the lost. Father, please continue to pour out thy Spirit upon us, and please, Spirit, continue to give us all the grace and the strength and the divine power necessary to say no to sin, to say no to self, and yes to Jesus. Thank you so much for making possible our salvation in us by continuing to convict us of our sins and of righteousness and of judgment, continuing to bring to our minds the Bible passages of truth, for there is indeed power in the Word of God, and help us to choose in all times and under any circumstances or trials to follow a thus saith the Lord and not a thus saith ourselves. Thank you so much for being here, dear Father, and please continue to dwell with us and to rule in our lives, especially in this next service. In Jesus' precious name we pray, amen. Let us take 5 minutes and then come back here for our main service at 11:06. Pacific Coast time, that would be 2:06 Eastern time. So just 5 minutes, dear ones.